Hey, it's Bob Stauffer. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to Oilers Now ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Weekdays at noon on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.
We return to Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Brought to you by Digitex. Managed print services to keep your printing costs down?
Yeah, Digitex does that.
Digitex.ca on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Bob Stauffer, Brendan Escott with you, 134. We've had Louis DeBrusk on the show. Goaltender Kevin Weekes for Canadian Power Pack. Canadian Power Pack, Alberta's leader in electrical construction service, electrical prefabrication, and solar. They play different positions. They had different roles on teams, and they believe there will always be the necessity of having some muscle in your lineup. We welcome back to the show a man who was amongst the most intimidating players in NHL history, albeit one of the nicest guys of all time. I have a feeling he's going to have some strong opinions on Tom Wilson. And he probably really liked the fact that the Rangers ended up standing up for themselves on Wednesday, but maybe it should have happened a little earlier. We welcome back to the show the former reigning heavyweight champ of the National Hockey League, Edmonton sporting icon, Montreal-based media personality, George Larocque. Hello, George. How are you?
Awesome, Bob. How's everything?
Good, good. What was your initial thoughts as you saw Tom Wilson, you know, leading down on Pavel Buchnevich? He could have hurt him there, and then throwing around Artemi Panarin. What were you thinking as you were watching that?
Well, the first thing I thought it was very gutless, and you know, take into consideration the fact that Wilson knows that there's nobody to answer to him with the Rangers, so it quite makes it easier for him to do that, you know. And when a guy's like laying down like this and you're hitting him like that, it's so dangerous. The NHL is supposed to punish him blows to the head, and this guy does that. Like, I couldn't believe it. It's so dangerous, and it could have hurt him very bad. And, you know, obviously, as you know, I couldn't believe he got away with a $5,000 fine, because that to me was very upsetting too, because what message are you sending? And I count on you, because there was no, there's no punishment for it. I knew that, obviously, the Rangers was going to retaliate, and guys was going to take justice into their own hand.
And they got a small team, and they got, you know, I mean, the thing about Washington, George, is they got a big, tough team. Like, they still have Chara, they had Dylan, they had Mantha, they had other guys that are big men that can look after themselves. You saw what happened in New York yesterday. Some people believe it was a philosophical divide between John Davidson, who helped build St. Louis, and St. Louis had a heavy team, but John Davidson and Jeff Gorton, and maybe what Glenn Sather wanted. You know Glenn Sather. You know Glenn Sather basically drafted you, wanted you, and he wanted you to play, and he didn't need to spell out as general manager what you needed to do, did he?
No, exactly not. And, you know, it's crazy because, you know, I'm hearing things that, you know, is the owner that wanted that letter to go out to the league, like to demand for Peros's head, and the GM and the president of the team, they didn't support him. They didn't want that. And because they didn't support him, that's why he fired them. And, you know, now he's getting fined $250,000, but the guy owns the Knicks and the Rangers and the MSG, so for him it's no big deal. But again, I'm so proud of the Rangers because they're a smaller team, and we're talking about Panarin, their best player. They didn't call up some tough guys from the AHL. They answered the bell themselves against a bigger team. And that type of stuff, that's what gets the team bound together, like guys close together, to realize that, you know what, we're going to stick together in this, and we're going to do this. And it was awesome that the way they responded to it, and the way that collectively all the guys, like I could just imagine Panarin in the room with all the guys thanking them, like you see that everybody has his back, even though they're way smaller. It was admirable to see that. You see guys sticking together and stuff. And you know, whether people like it or not, there is a code in the world of sport, and there's a code in the NHL. And the code is not for the fans, it's not for anyone outside of the game. So if they don't like it, well, it's too bad, because that's the way it is. We play by a code, and we die and live by the sword, and that's the way that it is. And that's why, like, we knew something was going to happen. They had no choice. The team, like Washington, responded to it. But again, it was easier for them to do so. But at the same time, they were expecting it. They knew that was coming. And now it's settled in and stuff. And then after that, they in the future, now they'll play hockey.
All right. Tom Wilson, you said it was gutless. And some have said he's a spot picker, George. Do you think he would have fought you in your prime?
No. No way. There's no way that he would have fought me. And actually, I'll go even further than that. There's no way if Ryan Reeves is there on that team, he does that. Because he knows he has to answer to him. But the thing is that in the NHL now, things are so different. Because if you look at teams now, the Oilers, with Nurse and Cassian, they have guys to defend McDavid, right? They're good when you're looking at that. You look at Vegas. Nobody's doing anything with Vegas because of Reeves, Calgary, Luchik. There's a couple of teams that has guys that can mix it up. But, there's so many teams that has no one. So when Wilson plays those teams, he's much braver than when he plays teams that has guys that he knows is going to have to back it up and on the game right away. And that's the way it is, you know? And I think that something like that happened, but believe it or not, I wouldn't be surprised if next year some teams started having some muscle as extra guys to make sure that their best interest is protected. Because while team was gearing away slowly from that, you still see that, you know what, in their instance, when you have a young team that has good talent like Lafreniere, Tanner, and all those guys, you got to make sure you have a guy that commands respect. So guys like Wilson is not flexing, you know, his muscle in the penalty bench, knowing that nobody is going to be able to answer to him. Because that's another thing, too. He doesn't do that if I'm with the Rangers. He doesn't do that at all. But guys like that, they pick the team who they're going to do that to. And, you know, against the Rangers, he knew. Like, look, it's Smith. Dennis Smith that went after him. That was nothing for him, you know. And that's because when you look at that, it's because there was nobody else.
George, let me ask you this. You did fight. You wrestled Zdeno Chara. He didn't really want to stand back and chuck him with you. But Zdeno Chara, I know you have the utmost respect for him. He's a tough man. He's a huge man. Do you think Wilson's become even more of a spot picker because he knows he's got guys on his team like Zdeno Chara, like Brendan Dillon, who can fight? Even Mantha is a big man who doesn't go looking for it, but he can do it too. Have they kind of enabled him to take that act one step further against certain teams because he's got backup?
Well, I'll give you a best example of that. My first year in the American Hockey League, when I played with the Hamilton Bulldogs, I played with Dennis Bondy, which was a goat in fighting. Martin Leiter, Jason Bowen, Sean Brown. I think we had the toughest team in history of AHL ever. Nobody wanted to play against us. No tough guy wanted to dress up against us because we had so much toughness. And, you know, now you look at, you know, and Chara's tough too. Wilson is with Chara now. You think he's afraid of anything? Like, man, that team is so big. They're so heavy. You could do whatever you want because Chara could be there. Could go. Like, what do you think Chara said to all the guys? Don't worry, guys, I'm there. I go to war with you guys.
Yep.
You know how comforting that is? And who in the Rangers is going to go with him? So because of that, come back to the fact he's not alone. It was much easier for him.
Well, George, I mean, as the 3-on-3 fight started, Chara skated up to Brendan Smith. And Smith challenged Chara in a playoff game when Smith was with Detroit. And Chara kind of looked at him and laughed. But you could see, and I'm wondering what Smith said. I wonder if Smith told Chara, I got to fight Wilson. Like, I wonder if that's what Smith told him. And then after all of the fights took place, the six fights, the Buchnevich thing happened where he cross-checked Mantha in the face, and we'll talk about that in a second. But there was Chara at the Rangers bench, and he was talking to Wilson again. And I wonder if he was telling him, that's enough, this ends after this. Because it was, they fought the six times, away you go. Speaking of Buchnevich, smaller player, got roughed up by Wilson on Monday. Mantha went and hacked at him two or three times. Buchnevich was in the face of some of the, you know, skated in and took, was in the face of Wilson a little bit. In the face of Mantha, Mantha was hacking and whacking him. Did you have any problem at all with Buchnevich protecting himself with the stick when he got tossed out of the game for the major penalty?
Well, the thing is that, you know, a stick is a weapon, and it's dangerous. You can't use a stick to protect yourself. You know, every time I look at stick incident like that, I think of the incident of Mick Sordi and Donald Brashear. That's what it could do when you cross-check somebody in the face. You never know how hard and how you're going to get them and the impact of it. It's too dangerous. A stick is a weapon. So if you want to go with him, turtle, go on the ground, tackle him, do whatever, but don't cross-check somebody with your stick. It's also gutless. It's dangerous. And like if Manta gets a concussion, he's done for, like, he gets 10, 20 games, you know?
Yeah.
So that's why it's like, I understand, like, guys wants to protect themselves, but you know what? Skate away. Go down. Go hide behind the referee. Do whatever, but don't cross-checking somebody in the face. Does not show that you're tough and does not show that you're standing up to yourself. You're using a weapon, and it's illegal and it's dangerous.
Well, George, a lot of our listeners would say it's the equalizer, and they didn't have much of a problem with Buchnevich doing what he was doing because, you know what, of what occurred with them on Monday and, again, at different stages in the game last night. I respect your opinion. I would say that, you know, I understand a smaller skilled player needing to create some space out there for himself and deploying the stick in that situation. So I slightly disagree with you, I got to tell you. Because he's
But Bob, if the guy got badly hurt, what would you say then?
He'd be looking at a lengthy suspension.
Yeah, exactly. And then would all the listeners still agree with the fact that he cross-checked him in the face?
I think the same argument goes the other way. What if Wilson had injured Buchnevich when he landed, you know, when he's sitting there driving his head into the ice, right? Like he worked him over pretty good on Monday. And that's the whole thing. Like, George, Wilson should have been suspended. We all know that.
Exactly.
Like, were you shocked that Wilson didn't get suspended?
Man, not just that I was shocked. I was shocked that a guy that got suspended five times before got fined $5,000, which is a joke. And even worse than that, they didn't even suspend him to make sure that he wasn't going to play the Rangers again, knowing that because they knew the league that it was going to happen. They called both teams before the game to tell them to make sure that nothing was going to happen. And they did. They still did.
Yeah, it's interesting just in terms of how everything, these sort of situations work. We're joined right now by George LaRocque. George, we've had a lot of conversation about Zach Cassian because it's my belief, George, Pittsburgh with Brian Burke there now, Glenn Sather is going to assist Chris Drury in the transition in New York. You know Glenn likes toughness. You know Berkey likes toughness in Pittsburgh. Boston has had some problems with Tom Wilson this year. And if they sign Taylor Hall, do they look at moving out a left wing for a right wing at some stage? And people have said, well, what about Zach Cassian? Like, since Zach's gotten his contract extension in Edmonton, he's been a little quiet. George, I got to tell you, what's occurred over the last 3 or 4 days to me has reinforced the need for a player like Zach Cassian in Edmonton. What do you think?
Well, yeah, you know, it's just too bad that he slowed down a bit, but there will be guys like that will have bigger role. Guy that, and even if a guy's not as good as a player, that it could be to be regular in the lineup, you could get two extra guys, and one of them could be there to play the odd games, and just that's going to have an impact on the team, knowing that, I guess, more physical team, there will be a presence that will be there.
Awesome stuff. George, you... Do you think George Parros needs to be stricter on these calls?
Well, yeah, he has to be. And I heard that Gary Bettman was not happy with the fact that he slipped that one away. And I even heard that, you know, if he slipped again, that would be it. That would be the last time. And they just hired him last year, right? So, you know, it's a tough position to be in and stuff. But the league got a lot of bad publicity for it. And I know that he's filling it and stuff. So, hopefully he fixes everything pretty fast and this never happens again.
George, does Connor McDavid, he needs 7 points in the next 5 games to get
easy.
To 100?
Yeah.
Easy?
He's doing it easy. Oh, yeah. The entire league is wishing for him to get it, even players. So they're already engraving his name in all the trophies. You know, if he's in this year, is incredible. And you know what? He's so good that they might give him the Norris, the Calder, and the Jack Adams, too.
he should have got the Calder. It was our Timmy Panarin that got it. George, yeah, awesome stuff. Thanks for your perspective.
Thanks, buddy.
That is George LaRocque, former heavyweight champion of the National Hockey League. There's an old saying in the car business, cars cost less than Wetaskiwin. When Brent Rich Ford is a 10-time President's Award winner for customer satisfaction. It's open 6 days a week to serve you while following all COVID protocols to protect both customers and staff. Uncle Milt says they're low on used vehicle inventory, which makes now a perfect time for you to sell. Let the gang at Brent Rich Ford lend a hand. You can reach them at 1-877-477-3673 or visit BrentRidge.com. We'll come back with this day in Oilers history. You're listening to Oilers Now.
This is Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.
Texts that have come into the Ashley Fine Floors text line in the first hour and 50 minutes of the show. Former defenseman Mark says, George hit the nail of this issue right on the head. Teams will bulk up so the Tom Wilson scenario doesn't happen or at least can be deterred. This is what I've been saying for weeks, says former defenseman Mark. Are we trying to devolve the game? Are we? This is what is going to happen. George Parrish should be fired. A blind man could see his department blew it. As for the refs managing games, enough already. Let skill trump the teams and players who have to break the rules to keep up. Well, we'll see. The Don says, Bob, the Oilers need one more tough guy. Get tough or go fishing. I say Gazdic, and I stand by that statement. He can still go. I don't even know where. I don't think Luke's playing this year. Bob, this one comes to us from Ron. Would the Oilers consider signing Brett Ritchie from the Flames next year? What do you think? All I can tell you is I can 100% guarantee you that over the last 2 years, Brett Ritchie has been brought up. His name has been brought up to people in management. That's all I'm going to tell you. You can text us at any time at 780-496-0063. Trucker Dave says, I can understand George not being scared in his life. Regarding Puchnevich, he was in a different position. He was defending himself, and that's why the cross check is fair game. I agree. I mean, George, who's George legitimately going to be scared of in his NHL? He said Dave Brown when he broke into the league. That was the only guy. I had no problem with Puchnevich cross-checking. In light of what happened to him, no problem at all. I know it sounds Neanderthalic, but that's just the reality of the situation. To this day in Oilers history, brought to you by Dennis and Jason Laliberti and the team at New West Travel, back in the 630 CHED studios. Here's Brendan Escott.
Ooh, 1992, Joe Murphy had a hat trick and a helper in a 5-2 Oilers win over Vancouver at Northlands. That gave them a 2-1 series lead in the Smythe Division Finals. Bill Ranford outdueling Kirk McLean for the victory in goal.
Joe Murphy had 24 points in 16 playoff games that year. He was money for the Edmonton Oilers on the pipeline. That's what they called it. Along with Bernie Nichols, Joe Murphy, and Vincent Domfus. That was the line. The only year Domfus played in Edmonton. Royal Pizza, pizza, pasta, and so much more. Edmonton owned and operated for over 50 years. For a menu and a list of their 13 Edmonton and area locations, go online at royalpizza.ca or download the Royal Pizza app from the App Store. The Stauffer recommendation is the Mediterranean Chicken. Tomorrow on Oilers Now, back in fold from NHL Hockey and Rogers for the River Cree Resort and Casino, Elliot Friedman for the horses and horse racing Alberta, Mark Spector, and Oilers television and radio voice, Jack Michaels, Jack Louie, myself, Sean Brown will be on tonight's TV broadcast, Jack and Louie with the call of the game. Cam Moon and myself will have the call of the Oilers Radio Network broadcast along with Reed Wilkins and Rob Brown. Up next, the global news, weather, traffic update with Eileen Bell, followed by a simulcast of Rob Breckenridge out of CHQR 770 in Calgary. I'll rejoin you at 5:35. Thanks for participating, everybody.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer, weekdays at noon on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.